Okay, I would like to introduce Theo Marchal. Theo Marchal is a PhD researcher and PhD researcher in Cresson Laboratory, and he is assistant professor at this school of Grenoble School of Architecture, and he is interested in parametric design. Mainly by sound, and as I told you before, he has invented and programmed a tool that he will present during the project, and then it is his main axe, his main theme of work of his PhD work. Theo is an architect, but he told me once that he had a year in engineering, so he studied very well physics, the physical aspect, and that affected his way of understanding architecture, because he's relating the physics of sound. Physics of sound, because they are school polytechnique, école de polytechnique, eux ils ont école de polytechnique, département d'architecture et de paysage. So the first year they take the engineering subjects such as physics.
So you're making both between landscape and engineering?
Somehow, yeah. Okay, yes, so it's that. So I will listen to you, Marchal.
Hello, everyone. So I tried to make Noah asked me to present you two different things. First presentation about basics in architectural acoustic, and the second one about the tool I'm developing. So in 1 hour, I will try to be quick and clear. Okay, so let's go. The first thing I wanted to say about that, about architectural acoustics and physics in general, is that it should not be seen as another way compared to what you've seen here during this week. It's not another way to think sound, like another way from the sensitive method. I think, to me, it's very important to see that as a companion. If you know these rules, you can better understand the sensitive method that you are learning here. So to me, it's more like a supplementation than a substitution to the physical. I'm talking about the physical dimension. First thing to know, and which I want to begin, is the etymology of acoustic. So the word itself, as we know it today, acoustic, it has been invented by a French physician called Joseph Sauveur during the 17th century, but it comes from the old Greek acousticos, which characterized or qualified everything about hearing. So it was basically something to qualify things. It's also related to the word akouo, which literally means to hear. And why I'm talking about that, I think it's very interesting to note that source. Because before everything, that science of what we hear, and by derivation the science which qualify objects by hearing, means that the human sense of hearing is was at the beginning at the center of it. So it's the hearing, the human sense, which is at the center of the science. And it's very important to note that. We're not talking about only physics waves and everything. It's the human hearing at the center. So after that, let's go deeper by starting to define what sound is. I think you know a sound is an acoustic wave produced by a vibration of an environment. Most time we are talking about air. Air is vibrating. And the vibration itself is induced by a moving object. So right now my vocal cords are vibrating, and it makes the air vibrate, and basically that's what creates waves, so sound. Very basic, but it's the same for loudspeaker, membrane, everything. To qualify this wave, so the sound, I resumed it here to three basic values, which are the velocity of the sound, which is basically the sound, not the velocity of the sound, the velocity of the wave, which is basically the speed of the sound, and which varies according to the environment. So here you can see some values. That's not important, it's just to have an idea. For example, brick, it's 3,600 meters per second. I think you know in the air it's 340 meters per second, and in the water it's 1,400, around 400 meters per second. The things to know is that the sound velocity increased with the density of the material, okay, of the environment, because we will see that it can vary. Second thing is the amplitude. So you have the amplitude of the wave, which is basically the sound level, and the third one, the third from the three basics qualification, is the frequency. So when you're talking about the sound, which is low, high, medium, and the frequency is the inverse of the period. So period is one oscillation. Okay, so that's very basic. Then, after we know that, we can characterize physical phenomena to represent the way the sound will spread in environments, the way it will be modulated, and everything. The first I wanted to present is called refraction. And it appears when the sound spreads in an heterogeneous environment. Okay. So when you have
heterogeneous environment. Heterogeneous environment.
So when you have difference of density, for example, in the same environment.
I mean, when we have different materials with different densities, so the sound when passing through these different materials, they make a phenomena that is called refraction. Okay.
So as we seen just before, the sound moves faster in a more dense environment. So if you imagine an environment here, which is more dense in Y than in X, then your wavefront will be moved, okay? The front of the wave will be moved because it will move faster on Y than on X. And that results in what we call a refraction. It also appears with difference of density, but it also can appears with uneven temperatures. So sound move faster in warm air and slower in cold air. And so as you can see on that figure, and that's why, for example, when you are in a theater, in crowded theater, basically we say, okay, the sound goes up. That's because the audience is making the air warm, so the sound moves faster. The sound move as in the second graph, okay? Slowest sound speed and the above, So it's going up because the front wave is moving that way. So it's moved faster at the other of the audience, and it's going up. It also appears with wind, and that's a well-known phenomenon. When you're speaking in front of wind, it looks like sound is going up, and when you're speaking with wind in your back, it looks like sound is going down and going further too. That's generally the wind is going faster above, and so it moves the front waves the same way that the difference of density and temperatures. The second basic physical phenomenon is called reflection. That one is very simple. The rule is that the reflection angle is equal to the incident angle. Okay. So A here is equal to R. We'll see just after on the third that the intensity of the reflected sound depends on the material, okay, and it will lead us to absorption. I don't know why it's not appearing, but it's the third one, absorption, and it's defined by a coefficient. I called it here alpha. We generally called it here alpha. There is different alpha, but the main use is alpha Sabine. And you can see here, we've got two different materials. One is glass, and the second one is mineral wool. The first one got a small coefficient, and the second one got more higher coefficient. So you can see the sound will be reflected with lots of intensity on glass, and on the other hand, the mineral wool will absorb some of the sound energy, and it will reflect with low intensity. Okay, so the reflection will be less strong against that. If, for example, we remove that insulation, we'll find only concrete. Oh, absorption is here. We find only concrete, and then we're around the same coefficient than glass. Okay, and then you will have a lot of reverberation. We will see that at the end. Reverberation is kind of the sum of reflection and absorption. And the last one from the four basic physical phenomena which characterize the way the sun spreads is called diffraction. And diffraction occurs when the sun will pass through a narrow opening or an obstacle, which is most of the time longer than the wavelength. It's more complicated than that, but that's it. And that's why, for example, and it will result like that, or like that. That's why, for example, where you're in a room, you can hear people talking in the other room without being in the front of the opening. Okay, that's one of the phenomena, that caused that effect. There is also something that you can represent yourself when you're hearing that phenomena, is that larger wavelengths, so loud sounds, will be more diffracted than the small wavelengths. So that's why you're not hearing so well the high frequency, and you can still hear the low frequency. The same phenomenon exists with noise barrier. I don't know if you experienced that, but if you're going behind the noise barrier, you will not hear high frequencies, but the low frequencies are still there. And you can put all the insulation you want, there will be a diffraction at the top, like you see on the picture. So the low frequency are still there. And that's why some noise barrier designed another way to, on the top, to go around that problem. So those are the four physical phenomena, four basics. And let's jump to reverberation, which is, as I said, kind of a sum of the two phenomena, reflection and absorption. Why I want to talk about that, I think for architectural design and architectural acoustic, the reverberation is one of the main things to understand, because it really, really qualifies spaces, especially closed spaces. So that's why I wanted to develop that, in order to be quick and useful for you. So we'll not say further the first one, but that one I think it's very important. Reverberation time is one tool we use in architectural acoustic. Okay, sorry, it's in French, but the word here is time. And the abscesses. So, why it's a useful tool and what is it? Reverberation time, I don't know if you know what is it. Some of you maybe, or... Yeah? It's very useful for some of you who don't know what is it. It's basically the time for the sun to die after a source ceases. Okay, so when a source ceases, we can measure the time for the sun to die. And when you're saying RT60, RT30, RT15, that's the reverberation time 60, reverberation time 30. We are qualifying the what's the die, okay? Because when I say it's the time for the sun to die, okay, but you can say what's dying. Basically, dying is, the main use is RT60, and it's when the sounds go down from 60 decibels. Okay? There are a lot of reverberation time, but that one is one of the most used in architectural design. Why? Because initially, orchestra, the louder crescendo for an orchestra is 100 decibel, and the basic room background level or the room tone is around 40 decibel. So the difference between the louder crescendo and the room tone is of 60 decibel. So that's why RT60 is the most used and the more representative of what we want, what we are reaching in architectural design. So it helps us to describe spaces. It's a very convenient tool to describe spaces in architectural way, in an acoustic way, sorry. So a room like this one, for example, which is a room for courses, is designed according to some criteria of reverberation. You can't design a courses room or, I don't know, auditorium or that's kind of restaurant rooms without having certain criteria of reverberation time. For a room like this, I think we are around 1 second. Okay, so it needs 1 second for the sound to go down from 460 decibel. And for a larger auditorium, we will be around, I don't know if you've seen the big one there. No? So there is one auditorium here, which has initially a lot of problems with reverberation, and then they try to manage it and it still have problems, but I think we are around 3, maybe 4 seconds, which is a lot, because a medium auditorium should be, for in order to be good as for speech and music, should be between 2 seconds, I think, for a medium size. On the other hand, see, if you're talking about a cathedral, for example, it could go up to 8-9 seconds, which is very convenient for pipe organs, for example, but not for speaking, not at all. Why? Because, as you can see on that figure, if you imagine that this is a graph of someone speaking, and it's two sentences. So the first one, then the second one. Okay. If you got low reverberation time, like here, it's convenient here because I can speak quite rapidly and you still understand me. If you got a low reverberation time, then the beginning of the sentence, of the second sentence, is not masked by the first one. On the other end, if I'm talking in a high reverberation time space, then you will have trouble to understand what I'm saying at the beginning of my phrases. That's why when you're in a cathedral, for example, if you're trying to make a speech, you will have to make pauses between sentences in order to be understood. Okay? So it's very important for places to be able to qualify that. I will show you a quick video which
je
is...
Je pense que Jean-François nous a présenté une bande sonore sur la même, mais sur
this one?
Oui.
Okay, so no need to see.
Après, tu vas passer par...
You seen that one, okay. Hmm?
Après, on peut passer par...
Oui, oui, je vais. So, what I was talking about. Okay. I think you seen before some examples of reverberation, and we'll see after that some examples, other examples. That I think I will go quick because we don't care. That's all calculated from. The volume and the air absorption and everything, but basically we don't care. We don't have. You know that a formula exists. So if you're interested, you can calculate a reverberation time from data.
This equation.
Yes, which is three data you need is the volume of the space, and the air absorption, which is the surfaces of all your faces. Multiplicated by the absorption coefficient than we see before. Okay, so that we can go through. And the last thing is about architectural acoustic quickly, which is very important, I think, is impulse response. What is impulse response? Is impulse response is. Measurement or simulation we can make into spaces that give us reverberation time, but also reverberation quality in terms of frequencies. And it's how do you measure it? I had a little application, but it's not working. I don't know what. But basically, you are in a space in a room or somewhere. And you clap your hand, the better is to use a loudspeaker which will go through all the frequencies and everything. And you place a mic somewhere in the space, and then it will receive all the sound, so direct and reverberate sound, and you will hear that clap, and it will be translated in a wave file, a sound file. That you can use to simulate that space. So, if you want, you can clap your hand here, with put a mic here, and then when you, because that space is so perfect, you want to hear your favorite sound into that space, but you don't have it here. So when you're back in Egypt, then you can listen to your favorite song as if you were listening here. Fantastic. We will hear some examples. And we can do that virtually. So there are tools that can generate impulse responses. So you can design a virtual space and then launch lots of calculation. It's a bit long, but you can do it. And then you've got your impulse response, and you can hear the sound you want inside that virtual space, which is very interesting too. Okay, to conclude this first part, I wanted to make you listen some examples, in situ examples and in vitro examples, as you said. So the first one is a recording in Spain that we made in the project Esquisson, and it's a very interesting reverberation plus echo. It's recorded on a balcony, obviously, and you will hear children and try to figure or imagine what kind of space and what kind of shape and space we are. Okay, so I don't know if you figured it out, but it's a courtyard. It's recorded from a balcony, and the courtyard is mainly mineral, which made that reverberation. And I think it's a very interesting sound, because first you can hear that medium reverberation, with children playing and speaking on everything inside the courtyard. And when the children start to play and play with the reverberation, then it transforms itself in echo, and you hear ho, 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 that kind of sound. And there is a small echo, and that's very interesting, because that gives a relief to the sound, which before was very smooth by the reverb. So in that kind, we qualify it as a ludic space, because, you know, it's very interesting, because the reverberation is not annoying, not too loud, but you can play with it, children can play with it, and it's very qualifying for the space. It's very typical. We also can hear that we are not in a closed courtyard, because we can hear far and distant sounds, which are differently modulated by the space and coming from further. And that's why it makes it sound like that, so specific. A quick second example, which I wanted to show you, is the illustration of the phenomenon known as flutter echo. I don't know if you know what is it. Flutter echo. It appears when the sound bounces between two parallel and very reflective walls. So if you put two very reflective concrete walls, for example, and you clap your hand, the sound will bounce between the walls, and it will not only do, but you will hear something like a phaser. I don't know if you know that effect. It will make Let's hear it. It's in the World's Fair César Pavillon. I don't know if you know that building, the one with the curved ceiling. Yes. We've got two huge blocks of concrete, and between them
a cover
of concrete too, but which is pre-constrained. And that sound has been recorded in one of the loggia, because there are loggia inside the concrete walls. So. Okay, so that is flutter echo. Here it's about 3 seconds, I think. I don't measure it, but you can hear it. It's about 3 seconds. But it can also jump to more. And in places like sports hall, for example, you can find videos and internet and something. You just type flutter echo and you've got sports hall, which can jump to 6 or 7 seconds. So it needs treatment because we can't hear anything, and it's a very huge problem. And to conclude that part, I wanted to show you an example of what we see before, the impulse responses. To place a sound of your choice in a lot of spaces. So to do that, we start with an anechoic recording that I pick on openairlib.net, which is an open library of sounds, and basically you can find a lot of anechoic sources. Do you know what anechoic recording is? It's a sound recorded in a specific room. The one we seen there, I'll just show you. Okay. Here, you will see that kind of places, okay, with a lot of anti-reflection dispositive devices.
Have you been there before? Will you have to go to the School of Architecture?
Yes. Ah, you've got one?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We have a strong sonic laboratory in Egypt. So I will tell you after you can go, and you can listen to, you can have a sonic experience in this space. It's for acoustics engineering, the room for isolating the motors of the airplanes.
Okay.
So it's acoustician.
Okay, yeah, it's very deep acoustic. It's used to record or understand how something sounds without all the reverberation, so without all the thing that we are into. Okay, it's just one thing. Here is putting I don't know, petard, firecracker.
Oh,
yeah. Firecracker. Inside of it, and you can hear how it would sound. It's very math, okay? So, let's go to where we were. And so the sound I pick, he has been recorded in an anechoic room in order to have a perfect sound to use impulse responses. Because if you put it in a virtual reverberated place with those kind of tools, then you don't want the reverberation of the room where you recorded the original sound, okay? So check. It's pocket cornet, a little cornet. You know what it is? I put a picture to because it's cornet. Okay, so let's hear it. First, it's the sound in an anechoic room directly from the mic. Okay, so it's cover some frequencies, it's basic. It's more loud at the beginning than at the end, everything. So it's very convenient to what we want to do. So we'll try to put it in that tunnel, which is in Edinburgh, the recorded have been made by Andrew Chadwick and Simon Shelley. We've made the measurement. And so what does it like? That's the first reverberate sound. And it's very near from what we can imagine. I choose something near to car park to see the difference. It's same kind of reverberation, but not at all the same materials, and so not the same frequencies reverberated and modulated. So you will hear the sound and see that it's not the same. You can really tell the difference, and you can really tell that it's not in a tunnel, it's in a car park. Here, it's more italic, and also the loud sound are more reverberated because it's it's a larger space, but you don't have the tube effect. Okay. And the last one, because it's fun, it's one of the, I think it's the biggest cathedral in England, and I think it's one of the biggest of the Europe, in Europe. It's the York Minster Abbey. And the impulse response have been made in the abbey when it was empty. So, because I don't know, they are doing something for a commercial or something, they were putting grass everywhere. I don't know why. So the space was empty, so it was very convenient to test to put an impulse response there. No furniture to absorb sound and everything. So let's hear it inside the York Minster Abbey. That's cool. So now, if you want, you can sing inside the Westminster Abbey. Okay. Do you have any question about that part? Which is a very basic initiation, but... No? Everything was clear? Great.